You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Roy.
Hello, John.
Roy!
Greg. You got a big smile on your face, Roy. A smile that would suggest you have the best, you're a fan of the best hockey team in the league.
Yep.
And five other teams.
6-0 Roy, we call him.
Yep.
I believe one of four undefeated teams in the league currently.
Yep.
The only 6-0 though, as two guys pointed out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Best team in the league, Roy. Yeah.
Best team in the league.
Top of the table.
Only played more games than everybody.
Cupping it.
All you could do is win the games, Roy.
Unless you're Georgia, Michigan, or Michigan State, in which case you have to win other games that you haven't played.
Those aren't games. They haven't played games. Play Alabama, and we'll see. All of a sudden, you're a big proponent of the Big Ten? I mean,
I just want to write a national edict that anyone that was born in the Northeast cannot ever talk college football.
Okay. Fair.
Not even busting college fans?
Not a single one of them. Boog. I'm sure you enjoyed that Coughlin upset over Notre Dame.
But I've been talking college football for 20 years.
I'm sorry. Your son goes to Boston College, you're out.
Pitt's pretty good. I think that's in the Northeast.
Yeah, but if you're from the Northeast, you can't talk about Pitt.
I don't know. Pitt.
That's what Mike is saying.
Pitt's kind of... I don't know.
They're not good.
Well, I wouldn't...
They are good.
They are good.
They lost
in Alabama.
Like every broadcaster went to Syracuse. None of them can talk about college sports.
No.
But that's every broadcaster.
No, they can talk about college basketball. Just Northeasterners talking about college football is just always a painstaking experience.
We will allow Northeasterners to talk about Rutgers football and nothing else.
That's all we get?
What's the best that you've got?
It was Rutgers that probably one year.
Cuse is probably.
Well, we had Syracuse with Donovan McNabb for a few years. That was pretty good.
I think Pittsburgh is the best the Northeast has because Pittsburgh was actually a national championship.
Well, Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pitt is an incredible football program. Not a lot of people know that. But also, I don't think we should qualify. I don't think they qualify as a Northeast team. I think that they're closer to the Midwest than they are to the Northeast. Yeah.
They're in Pennsylvania.
Not on my map.
I know. Western PA. It's a short jaunt over to Cleveland. Cleveland the Northeast?
So Temple we can talk about.
Yeah, you can talk about Temple.
Okay.
If not by geography, then by character. Pitt is a Midwestern program.
Wow. Hell yeah. Rust Belt.
Midwestern values is what you're saying? Out there in Western PA? Okay.
I think that Mike Ryan is making this not geographical, but just he doesn't want to allow another decent school with decent history into the Northeast conversation. So he's just
cherry-picking.
He's argument gerrymandering.
He is.
Not allowing. If one of your chief rivals is West Virginia, you are not in the Northeast.
Put it on the poll. Put it on the poll. That's a tough one. Rhetorically, he's really boxed us in there at Lebitard Show.
Called the backyard brawl. West Virginia is in its backyard, therefore not Northeast.
If one of your rivals is West Virginia, are you allowed to consider yourself a Northeast team? Is not where I thought we'd be starting today.
But it's fair. It's a good point by Mike. I mean...
How about the better point, though, about your analysis being all now college football? Just all of your analysis is you have to beat Alabama even if you're not playing Alabama.
Well, you do. I mean, that's the standard. That's the bar. You got to play that team. You got to beat that team. Texas A&M is done. Dan, if Texas A&M
wait a minute. What happened to that thought? Where's that
thought?
Texas A&M has what? You hit an inject button and you parachuted out of here like you were a fighter pilot.
I did.
And all of the gauges were spinning and you just needed out. What happened with that Texas A&M thought that never got finished?
Well, it was an Alabama thought that then shifted to the Aggies, and then I ejected from the Alabama thought, went to the Aggie thought, and the Aggie thought was if they had one less loss, many people would be saying that's a playoff team. Why? Because they beat Alabama. That's all I'm saying. Beat Alabama. And I'm not certain Texas A&M shouldn't be a playoff team, by the way.
He knows he only has so long to make this point and needs to get the three or four prongs into it before it immediately gets cut off. Because that's what's coming when he's saying that Texas A&M should be higher than Alabama.
His face so obviously says, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's not true.
You could see him making shit up.
You want to face the Aggies? I mean, they beat Alabama.
His move, we are all on to him with his move, right? Or he's got an assortment of Hall of Fame moves. One of them is to just wave sausage fingers at you and tell you to look something up.
Yeah.
And look at Greg Cody vigorously shaking a fist because that's one of the moves in his arsenal as well.
Top 10 move right there.
You guys have been using that since before it was easy to look things up. You guys have been using that since it required a library or an encyclopedia.
The internet did not help me.
No. Look it up. It's vastly less power in it when you can just pick up your phone and actually look it up.
It was a Hank Goldberg move. I learned it from him. I stole it from him. It was look it up. You couldn't look it up when Hank was doing radio. I mean, so now you can, and I'm stuck. Look it up.
But the college football move of they haven't played anybody. It's something that he will apply to any team that hasn't played Alabama.
Yeah.
And so it allows him to question. And this is really the critic's delight. This is Stugatz arriving at the pearly gates. And I don't know who's the equivalent of Peter. I guess Ebert, Siskel and Ebert are at the pearly gates. And it's the critic's delight, which is just thumbs up or thumbs down. I get to come in here whistling and simply saying, you haven't played Alabama, you haven't played anybody. Alabama's played five or six games. It allows him to criticize the entire sport.
It's a cushy job.
I think by his logic, Miami is better than Cincinnati because they just merely played Alabama. So he at least has a gauge for how good they are.
Yes, because he gave credit to Florida for coming close to beating Alabama, made them the second-ranked team in the country.
Which honestly is a huge strike against Alabama this year.
Yes, Florida was the second-ranked team in the country. Then Texas A&M actually beat Alabama. They overtook the University of Florida. Now you have Florida, Georgia. This will be interesting this week. I know I'm telling Georgia to play Alabama. Beat the Gators first, okay? On a neutral field. How about that?
Do you have Mercer in your top 10?
No.
They played Alabama.
Right. How'd they do?
I mean, they at least played them. They took the field.
They scored, kept it within five touchdowns.
Really?
Didn't they score more than Miami did against them?
I mean, they're right there on the fringe, you know, outside looking in.
There's two categories, beat Alabama and almost beat Alabama. And right now, Texas A&M and Florida live in those categories.
Yes.
No one else does.
Didn't FAU play Alabama a few years ago?
It's not play Alabama. Come on.
You guys are totally missing this.
T.Y. Hilton scored against Alabama.
You guys don't know anything. You don't understand this.
Stugatz is 100% right. If Georgia and Alabama played this Saturday, Alabama's favored by what? 6 points?
No.
Oh, yes, they are. At Georgia, they're favored.
At Georgia, they're favored.
Athens.
No. Correct.
Yes, they are.
Stop. Yep. I won't. No. Stop talking college football.
They're not favored?
Please stop.
To be fair to Greg and Stugatz, when is the last time that Alabama was not favored because
had to be at LSU.
I assume over the last decade they're always going to be the favorite in every single game. And when you say what would the line be on Alabama, Georgia, 6 points, I don't know. I feel like Pick'em is where I would start.
Really?
On a game like that.
Quick Google search says 2015 against Georgia, they were a 1 point underdog and won 38-10.
And if I say to you, Pick'em, you think that's an offensive line? If I say to you, I just don't know. Georgia, that's one of those games where, well, I just saw Alabama lose. I've seen Alabama struggle. And the thing that I know right now about college football, more than even perhaps that Alabama's always going to have a lot of pros, is that Georgia's defense is exceptionally dominant and good, because this conversation started with Mike Ryan asking, how many extra points will Georgia allow this season? They are at 4 so far. Would you take the over-under on 10? I think I would take the over, but only because they have to play Alabama. I'm assuming...
In an SEC, we're counting postseason tournaments.
I'm assuming that Alabama is going to score some touchdowns against them.
I'm reading an article from Fox Sports that says, if Alabama and Georgia played on a neutral field, Alabama would be favored by 4.
Okay.
Boom.
That sounds right.
Yep.
Keep in mind, betting lines are public perception. If you start it as a pick'em game, there's so much money poured into Alabama right away that the line moves overnight.
Chris Cody, why did you burst out laughing?
Hold on. That was written on October the 7th. Alabama has since lost since then, so there's no way that line is 4 points. I'm telling you right now.
It's Alabama minus 6.5.
Oh, damn right.
Chris Cody.
I just love Stugatz's boom. Like, he's heard something that's like, that sounds like I'm right. Boom.
Yep.
An explosion.
Yeah.
He's giving
which
you...
Which good.
Which giving, didn't confirm he was right at all.
No, that's the beauty of it.
Well,
and it's no, you said 6.5 at Georgia.
Let's get a more recent article. Look it up. I mean...
I want to marvel after all of these years. Perhaps for some of you, it has grown stale. Around here, it has not grown stale.
Well, thank you.
That Stugatz can do what he just did, which is basically all of college football is at my disposal to criticize everyone and everything. By my own admission, if I'm really being honest, I know it's a bogus camouflage move to disguise that I'm sort of paying attention, but not really, not with any zeal. And then someone says something that marginally agrees with him, and he creates an audio explosion that is boom.
There's a trend with this, because I see an article headline from September 26th that says Alabama would be a 6.5-point favorite over Georgia at a neutral site. But then we moved into October, and as Woody read, it went to 4 points. So it seems to be we're trending in the opposite direction here.
Boom.
Since both those articles have been written, Alabama lost and Georgia's beaten, demolished 3 ranked teams.
Courtesy of our friends at DraftKings, the current national title odds, Georgia plus 120, Alabama plus 260.
Boom.
Okay, I don't think the boom is being used.
What do you mean?
He understands how to use boom less than he understands college football.
He thinks plus 260 sounds like it's more than...
But good look, value.
What do you mean? I've got plus and there's 260 and that's better than plus 120 because it's just more numbers.
Greg, we should hop on that right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll never get Alabama plus 260 again to win a national championship.
It's a steal.
Yep.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, I'm on it.
On it, really. Seriously, mm-hmm. So am I.
Okay,
let's... Plunging my guts out on that.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Let's talk about what happened right before the show when Chris Cody walked in here and checked in on his father. And he looked at his dad and he's like, "Dad, are you ready to do today's show today?" Because what has happened, and this is a toe in the dangerous waters that Stu got, this has not happened very much around here where we have our little public messes because we've missed something and we need to do some learning because we did not know something. So Greg Cody has stepped in it, and I don't know what happened with you in a column you wrote off of Sunday's game. I do want to talk to you about the Dolphins and Tua, but why was your son in here concerned about what you might say today?
Yeah, it was actually in a column I wrote Monday.
$5.
Sorry.
Wow.
I made a joke. It was a pro-Tua column. I consider myself the biggest pro-Tua guy in local media in this market. And I'm
so you're proudly that or
yes.
you
yeah, I'm proudly that.
Dad, your take on what he is as a quarterback has nothing to do with this.
Okay.
You keep like saying I'm a pro Tua guy, like as if that has anything to do with
it. Your dad is very
you're
bad.
Just pointing it out.
Well, but I'd like to rewind before we head to wherever we're headed here, because I don't know where we're headed here, and I actually don't know what the joke was or the controversy. I just was told that Greg stepped in something. But in my entire time knowing you, before I go down this path, Chris, I have found your father among human beings and animals I've ever met in my life the one who has the most difficulty admitting that he's wrong about anything. And so that's where it starts. I'm pro Tua more than anybody. Here's why my joke was what?
My joke was poorly received. And upon
so that's not on you that it was poorly received, right?
Like, no,
he has a lot of difficulty.
He has a lot of difficulty with this. The idea of just coming out here and saying that he's sorry or made a mistake, like this is not something that he is good at.
I literally tweeted the phrase, "It's all on me." I mean, I literally tweeted that. I am totally taking responsibility. I apologized in the tweet, and I deleted what I wrote from the article. Now, from my prism, it was a benign comment that was inoffensive, but it's not my prism that matters here. If I offended people, if I offended Samoan culture, and I should say, I'll tell you exactly what I was doing. The point of the column, and I listed top 10 reasons why Tua Tagovailoa is the unluckiest man on earth, and I introed that by saying a couple of things, and one of the lines was, Tua is short for a very long Samoan name, like an 18-letter name. And the line was something to the effect, Tua, long name, must be Samoan for cursed and luckless. Okay. People got offended by that. And I didn't realize until Christmas. I didn't realize until Christopher told me that I'm getting beat up on social media. People are calling me a racist, which really hurts. And so upon reflection, I deleted it. I explained why I deleted it in a tweet that said I goofed up. I wrote something that I thought was funny that a lot of people found offensive, and that was it.
I imagine many people listening to this right now, Stugatz, are saying through their prisms, "Oh, come on, relax. What's the big deal?" Some form of that. I don't know how many of them are Samoan, but this is where some of this learning gets done, and I think apologies that have, if I offended, are a little weak because Greg Cody's feelings here or my feelings here or anyone's feelings who isn't in the marginalized community, those feelings don't matter. We're seeing some of this with Chappelle. Chappelle really thinks his feelings matter, and so he keeps doubling down with substantive power that he has on, no, my feelings matter here. My feelings about art, my feelings about comedy. I'm going to keep trying to get the last word on this over several specials because Dave Chappelle thinks his feelings should matter. And on that subject, I would say to you, in the name of equality, in the name of correcting previous mistakes, the feelings of the outside group should matter less because we are less likely to know and feel what it is to feel offense in those situations. And you can rail against it saying, you're too sensitive, Samoan person X. Or you're too sensitive.
It's not for you to decide.
Well, but I understand why it is people are objecting to that, thinking it's always been my right to decide. Freedom! It's always been my right. I mean, Chappelle's yelling here. He's not yelling. I shouldn't use that verb. Chappelle is saying, this is about my right to say what I want, when I want, which a comedian really values, an artist really values, anyone who makes art. And Chappelle has made that, like it or not. Anyone who makes art is going to cling to those things very stubbornly. I've seen it happen with the aging of Bill Maher here, where he wants to fight young people on this stuff. And I do think on Chappelle and Maher that the history of these people and the journey, it informs, right? You're talking about Chappelle leaving Comedy Central for Africa because he looked into a room and said, these are not my sensibilities in here. In Bill Maher's case, you're talking about somebody whose prism is, I got canceled after 9/11 off a show that was called politically incorrect. These guys stubbornly grip and hold on to my rights to make a living, to feed my ego, to make money, to be great at this, to do comedy, to make art that pushes boundaries.
Back to Greg for a minute, though. That is not what Greg is doing. Greg has apologized. He is not doubling down.
Thank
you, apology.
Billy.
Good apology, Greg.
Yep.
Understandable, I mean, that you would make that mistake. I'm glad you owned up to it. I'm not sure how many Samoans you have in your circle, and this is what inclusion's all about. You learn about things.
Right.
I learned through you. I learned through the pronunciation of Tua's last name, how that could be perceived as offensive. Mm-hmm. You learn about people. You did that. It took an unfortunate mistake, but I'm glad you owned up to it. Well, like Bill Maher and Dave Chappelle.
Maybe to Dan's point, though, you don't have to say if you offended someone. You apologize, therefore you offended right. someone. And you know well, that,
but,
Greg.
But I understand in this climate, though, Stugatz, honest to God, Stugatz, I could go down the street
yes.
and order a wrap, and I will get into a fight with 14 people, an internet comment section, and three Russian bots.
Because they were trying to eat it?
What? On anything, anything, facts, everything is politics now. Everything is weaponized. So I understand the pushback on, no, Chappelle's going to offend somebody no matter the comedy special he does. Even if he takes out all the trans stuff, there's going to be people offended. So I understand the bucking on that. What I don't understand is the absolutism on it. Why can't you just listen to a Samoan community that perhaps is not a community that you're very much involved in? And don't cite the polling like you did with the Washington football team, that not all Native Americans agreed with X, as if all of any people would agree with anything. I just don't think it costs you anything. I really don't. Not your freedom, not anything, to listen to the group that's smaller or marginalized and be like, oh, that hurts your feelings. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try and do a little bit better there. But a lot of people, whether it's ego, principle or something else, a lot of people just don't want to extend themselves even that much in the name of humanity, decency, and equality.
But I think Greg did that. He listened and he made an apology. And I feel like it was a heartfelt, warm apology to right. the people he offended. I think he did a good job on Twitter.
Yeah, well, thank you, Greg.
Yes.
No, I mean, I tried very hard not to equivocate by implying that, if you were offended, that's on you. Nothing like that. My apology was sincere and it was very direct, I thought. But it is an educational process, and it was for me. And a couple of things. Number one, what I sort of discovered or realized was that ignorance is no excuse. And when I say ignorance, it didn't occur to me as I'm writing that. Like, never
it,
once
it wouldn't
I...
have occurred to me either, Greg. Even as you said it, I'm listening to you, okay? Even as you said it, I'm learning it right there because right. I did not know what you had written. And I imagine a lot of people are, but to me, that's where the learning gets, that's where it gets made. And you can be discerning about your choices, about what you're good with and what you're not with.
Right.
And but we're fighting about all this stuff right now in this country, but does it cost you anything? I was actually trying to get to the jokes of Chris, just how hard it is to get your dad to admit that he's wrong about anything. Like, I made the mistake of not trying to get to the jokes before we got to you saying, hey, I learned this thing. But I really do want to examine how difficult this is for you, because in my lifetime, anytime you've been wrong about anything, you fight to the death before you admit it.
Well, that's a bit harsh. I mean, I don't know what
Dad,
you mean
come on,
by that.
Dad. No, this is just, this is not about this. Just in general, my dad is fighting, very stubborn.
He's fighting for his life right now.
I like that. I like that he's pushing back on this notion too.
He'll push back on anything. Let's call your mom, please, and let's just ask her about his general stubbornness in all regards.
Talk about a woman who never admits she's wrong. Good Lord, you're going to ask her about me?
Don't do this.
Oh my God!
I have to write another apology real soon.
Oh my God!
As long as you can marry
the worst ally,
like, matter with you. I can count on one hand the number of times my wife has said I'm sorry in 40 years of marriage. Oh. I don't know if it's 40, but it feels like 40. But look, in this case, it actually felt good to apologize, because I knew I had offended people. And afterward, I'm reflecting on this, and I understand that in Samoan culture, as in American Indian culture, oftentimes names have special meanings. And I didn't mean to make fun of that part of their culture, but I did, and I was wrong, and I apologize. And it made me think of Whittingham, probably, and Mike, soccer people know this. In England, Newcastle United was just bought by a Saudi Arabian interest. And Newcastle fans have taken to, British fans have taken to wearing Saudi robes and headwear as a joke. And Newcastle is saying, please don't do that. It's culturally inappropriate. And to me, it's almost the same kind of situation. They're probably not meaning to offend Saudis by doing that. Maybe they're trying to be complimentary, but it just hits a wrong note. And if I hit a wrong note, I own up to it. And I was wrong.
I think the discomfort to me, I don't know about you guys in the audience, because Lord knows anytime we end up in any of these conversations, you guys are like, argue about condiments, because you've grown weary that you can't find escape hatches from much of this stuff, that wherever it is that people are talking, people are getting offended and people are getting hurt and people are getting sensitive. But I would ask you, does it cost you anything? Because what you've seen happening in the fights over race, culture, cancel, all of the fights, what you see happen is people taking very clear and obvious sides, right? Like this, you can't sit out anything these days. What does it cost you to just allow a group of people to teach you something without it being a threat on equality, the threat being the key word in this? Why can't listening not be a softer act that doesn't result in threat? Because I feel like we've gotten into our camp so much on so many of these things that I can feel the audience being that isn't Samoan being like, what are you guys talking about this for so long for? Why is this such a big deal? And it is a more sensitive time. And I would ask the audience, is that a bad thing? If when your feelings are involved, you'd like others to be sensitive when it involves your feelings, because I do gather that people are fed up with sensitive time, and they sure shit don't want me talking about it right in here. Well, where's the local out? What about Tyler Hero? Why are you doing Chappelle stuff? Because goddamn, that's fascinating what's happening with Chappelle. It's at the top of the pyramid where you find fame and power and money and race. And here's this celebrity thinks he's defending black people in comedy by telling another marginalized group, no, you don't cut me in line. You know how long I have to wait for equality? We've been in this country for a long time fighting this stuff. And then it spills over into Brooklyn. And now, you know, you got Floyd Mayweather out there and Kyrie Irving. And you realize that everything is a race fight and everything is a political fight. And I was naive about that. Stugatz, pre-pandemic, I was naive about that. I was yelling stupidly, for 15 years. I don't talk politics. I talk race. What a moron I am. Honest to God. Because, this was lost on me. That the fabric of politics and race are this woven, and now you have like what is a division in this country that I don't feel like any of us have ever seen before, right? We're all in the middle of living, and forgive me for this, because I know you guys do not like when I hijack the sermonizing, but I am fascinated at the times we're living in and how often these times are creeping into sports, where you're watching people use Kyrie Irving as a weapon and you're like, that's not about sports at all.
Right.
What is happening with Kyrie Irving, you guys are just grabbing a black symbol who at the beginning of this pandemic was in the bubble, you know, trying to lead and wondering whether they should play, as you had racial crisis in America. Look at what has happened to Kyrie Irving over the last 18 months, and now who he's getting used by as a symbol for what? As you're watching a Brooklyn basketball game outside, and you're like, who are these people that are celebrating Kyrie Irving? These are not Brooklyn fans. These are not fans of Kyrie Irving. Like, who are these people? What are they doing?
Well, certainly not Nets fans. There aren't many of those. That's a shot at their fan base. Because,
we got it. We got it.
I saw on StubHub tickets were for $7.
Ooh. By the way, Dan mentioned Tyler Herro.
He was looking good.
Yeah,
he's looking good. Man, did he look good last night. Dimes everywhere. I mean, backdoor dimes. I watched the game. This is not box score, Stu. Wow. I mean, Tyler Herro was distributing the ball. He looked good. He really did.
Yeah, looking
fresh
good.
Legs off the bench. Yeah. How about that?
Like how they're using him.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Should Stugatz indeed get congratulations like he wants for watching a game?
I'll give it to him.
Paid his dues.
I'll give you your flowers.
Good job, Stugatz.
The only evidence was him saying he had 5 assists. So that's
plus 19.
Wait a second. I'm looking at his computer right now.
It's box score.
It's zero BLKs. That's Magic Heat.
He had me going with backdoor dimes, though. I still believe him. I want to believe, Stu.
He had that backdoor dime to Markieff Morris on the baseline. It was nice. Now I'm getting specific. Now I got you guys. How about that?
Another play.
He had that one.
Another play.
There was one great play in that game that as Jimmy Butler got to 34 points where there it's fun to watch this team. Mike, it's going to be fun to watch this team because of how they play. Jimmy Butler going off for 36 points, stealing the ball all over the place yesterday. It's fun to watch.
I didn't like Jimmy Butler's style of play before he got to Miami. It took that magical run inside the bubble for me to get it. And same way, I've never really liked Kyle Lowry's game. He's probably a Hall of Famer. It's just never done it for me. And you see him.
Whoa, you got a skeptical eyebrow from Greg Cody on probably a Hall of Famer.
I mean, it surprised me.
No, we've done this about the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Greg, everyone gets into that.
It is true. It is true. They let in too many people. I should be a voter because the door would be ajar but not open.
Is it the heftiness that's never done it for you? Like, I'm trying to figure out.
I wasn't a fan of his inefficiencies earlier in his career. He's become a better three-point shooter. I didn't like how he played in the playoffs. I don't know. He just never did it for me. Yeah. I had to acknowledge that Jimmy Butler was a great player. He also didn't do it for me until I saw him night in, night out.
Pre-culture.
I kind of need to, know a hefty player that did do it for you just to make sure this isn't a hefty thing.
Bison Dele.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Kyle Lowry, I love how he initiates the offense in the two regular season games that I've seen him perform in. It seems like this is as much as I love Goran Dragic, and even Tyler Herro had comments on this, and I've never played with a point guard quite like this. They call him QB1 now, and he is absolutely like scanning the field, and we have a really good offense, and I have really legitimate high hopes for the Miami Heat this year, especially with whatever's going on with
Brooklyn.
What does that
mean? Classify that.
No, they're a title contender.
Say it, Mike.
Hold on. Let's say legitimate high hopes. You're going to a dangerous place here, my friend.
I think the Miami Heat can make it to another NBA Finals. I really
higher hopes, Heat or Panthers.
If you believe, hold on a second.
They're both great. They're both
question,
equal.
Though.
No, they're both equal.
Equal. I don't know if Roy. I think Roy's hopes might be higher than Mike's hopes right now.
Oh, absolutely. Panthers are contenders, man.
Yep.
Roy's hopes are my hopes. Wow. I love the Ice Cats. Yes. I almost got those.
Contenders is a weak word. You guys got to do better.
Yeah.
They're the favorite. They're not a contender.
But, Mike, Roy's hopes aren't your hopes. You would much rather the Heat get to an NBA final.
Don't split us up.
Choose one championship. Would you choose Panthers or Heat?
Oh, the Panthers, because they haven't done it before.
I think I would too.
I've had three in the century. So,
if you had to choose, I found this shocking.
You think? Sounds like sarcasm.
I mean, well, look. Here's the thing: there isn't really an NHL Twitter. Like, I dislike Tampa Bay Lightning fans, and even that's kind of tongue in cheek, right?
You're not going to be able to fight anybody. You're not going to be able to fight another fan base or several fan bases loudly on your way to the championship in hockey.
Right. Tampa, it's more like jokey. Yeah. There's banter, but it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Good. It's like good morning to everybody except Tampa. Oh, I'm like, your place smells. Oh, God damn you, Mike Ryan. It's not real. Where I'd want an NBA championship over the NHL is just like, screw you, Philadelphia.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's a joy that I don't see the Florida Panthers ever giving me. I'm sorry.
In terms of the odds, the Florida Panthers are actually right now second favorites to win the Stanley Cup at +800. Wow. The Heat, 10th favorites at 22-1.
Wow. It's an insult to the Panthers, by the way. I mean, they're 6-0, the only 6-0 team in hockey.
And they beat the favorites, the Colorado Avalanche, last week by 4-1.
Right. +800 isn't exactly, you know, they're going to definitely win. Those are still long odds. It proves that nobody knows who's going to win the NHL. Whereas in basketball, there are clear favorites.
Can you please help me create the political platform movement during this weird election time here in South Florida? We'll be covering with Billy Corbin more terrain that is offensive about everything that's happening in Miami with tomorrow's local hour. But I was moved emotionally by Roy and Mike with their arms locked in interracial solidarity that still confuses me after all these years that Roy is this passionate a hockey fan because he is so alone when he walks into the ice.
Mike didn't mean it.
Why can't Roy like hockey?
Because he's from South Florida. And so they're shaking their hands in the air together.
Like Tim Kaine and Hillary Rodham Clinton.
It was beautiful. It was. Exactly. I want you guys as running mates, and I want to see where this goes, bringing South Florida together. Man, we've been shitty at sports. It's only been the Heat for a long time. I'd like to welcome somebody else into the mix. Do you know how ridiculous it is that the Dolphins for 20 years have been useless? No playoff games in 20 years. One in 20. Right. You got to go back to 2000 for a playoff victory.
So you've had the Heat and their success. You would like to welcome someone else into that party, someone different.
On a platform. Yes. I want this to be a platform for a new sports America in South Florida before we all go underwater.
I want to celebrate a Panther Stanley Cup at La Careta with a girl named Caro.
Ah, yes. Caro.
That look, I was moved by the two of you. You both had joy on your faces because your teams are good. Because you've got, what did you call it? Legitimate hope? You've got legitimate high hopes.
High hopes, Dan. It's we're out of football season pretty much already down here.
Somehow.
Yeah. The seasons have changed. It's a balmy 88 degrees outside.
Hockey time.
It's hockey town, USA.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Hockey town. Where would the Panthers have a parade? You ever think about that? Sawgrass? Yeah,
somewhere in Fort Lauderdale.
Just through the Sawgrass and Elms Mall.
Carry the cup through the mall, the food court.
Somewhere near Los Olas.
There's a parade down 136th Avenue.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.